Perhaps it was, for Osbert did not respond to the jibe, proposing instead that we dig our own forts outside the city. 3 or 4 such forts, he said, would trap the Danes. Our best fighters could man the forts, and our other men could go home to look after their fields. Another man proposed building a new bridge across the river, a bridge that would trap the Danish fleet, and he argued the point tediously, though I think everyone knew that we did not have the time to make a bridge across such a wide river. Besides, King Osbert said, we want the Danes to take their ships away, let them go back to the sea, let them go and trouble someone else. A bishop pleaded for more time, saying that Ealdorman Egbert, who held land south of Jofrid, had yet to arrive with his men. Nor is Rishig here, a priest said, speaking of another great lord. He's sick, Osbert said. Sickness of courage, Hela's spokesman sneered. Give them time, the bishop suggested. With Egbert's and Rishig's men, we shall have enough troops to frighten the Danes with sheer numbers. My father said nothing at the meeting, though it was plain many men wanted him to speak, and I was perplexed that he stayed silent. But that night, Beorka explained why. If he said we should attack, the priest said, then men would assume he had sided with Ayla, while if he encouraged a siege, he would be seen to be on Osbert's side. Does it matter? Beorka looked at me across the campfire, or one of his eyes looked at me, while the other wandered somewhere in the night. When the Danes are beaten, he said, then Osbert and Ayla's feud will start again. Your father wants none of it. But whichever side he supports, I said, will win. But suppose they kill each other, Beorka asked. Who will be king then? I looked at him. Understood, said nothing. And who will be king thereafter? Beorka asked, and he pointed at me. You. And a king should be able to read and write. A king, I answered scornfully, can always hire men who can read and write. Then, next morning, the decision to attack or besiege was made for us, because news came that more Danish ships had appeared at the mouth of the River Humber, and that could only mean the enemy would be reinforced within a few days. And so my father, who had stayed silent for so long, finally spoke. We must attack, he told both Osbert and Ayla, before the new boats come. Ayla, of course, agreed enthusiastically, and even Osbert understood that the new ships meant that everything was changed. Besides, the Danes inside the city had been having problems with their new wall. We woke one morning to see a whole new stretch of palisade, the wood raw and bright, but a great wind blew that day and the new work collapsed, and that caused much merriment in our encampments. The Danes, men said, could not even build a wall. But they can build ships, Father Beorka told me. So? A man who can build a ship, the young priest said, can usually build a wall. It is not so hard as shipbuilding. It fell down. Perhaps it was meant to fall down, Beorka said. And when I just stared at him, he explained. Perhaps they want us to attack there. I do not know if he told my father of his suspicions. But if he did, then I have no doubt my father dismissed them. He did not trust Beorka's opinions on war. The priest's usefulness was in encouraging God to smite the Danes, and that was all. And to be fair, Beorka did pray mightily and long that God would give us the victory. And the day after the wall collapsed, we gave God his chance to fulfill Beorka's prayers. We attacked,